I was praying for our church, praying for different people and different things, and God really put on my heart to start praying for our singles. You know, I didn't really know why, but there's been times in my life I've been single. But I think it's harder now today than ever before to be single, especially when you're sitting in a church full of married people and people in a relationship. You're sitting behind somebody and you're single and you feel like you're alone, and it's not a very good feeling sometimes. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And it is for singles, but it's also for us married couples and people who are fixing to get married next week, next Saturday to be exact. Just saying. Our misconceptions about singles and what they go through and that sort of thing. So that's what I'm talking about today. There's a comedian named Milton Burrow, and he told a story of four widows in a retirement home, and they were all playing cards, and this good-looking fellow walks in, and he has bags under each arm, and they said, "What is a good-looking man like you doing here?" He said, "Well, I'm moving in." And so one says, "Oh, well, where are you from?" And he says, "The joint." They said, "The joint?" He said, "You know, the slammer of the penitentiary, the clink." And so one says, "Well, okay, well, what did you do?" He said, "Well, I murdered my wife, and I cut her up, and I put her in the backyard, I buried her, and so I've been in there for 15 years. And so after a short pause, lady says, "So that means you're single, right?" Isn't it funny how we go after somebody just because they're single if you're looking for somebody? But I want to remind people that there's nothing wrong with being singles. There's nothing wrong with them. Character flaw, there's nothing wrong. And it's a fact of life that nearly half of our population is single. So you have nearly half, find somebody. So all hope is not lost. Both Paul and Jesus, they lived as single men. They lived in a society where it was assumed that you were going to get married. It seems like the disciples left their families, and at least for those 3 years, to follow Jesus. And that's why they left, was to follow him. In 1 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, "It's good for a man not to marry." But in Corinthians 7:8, he says, "Widows and the unmarried, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I am." So through history, it has been accepted fact for one way or another that people may or may not get married. It was just a fact of life. Sometimes people can't find a spouse. Somebody may not be good enough for you, or you may not be good enough for someone else. People have been in a relationship and then they decide that they don't want to be in a relationship again. There's a number of reasons that people aren't in a relationship or want to be in one. I want to encourage everybody here that if you're single, I know that it's very, very hard to live single. It's very, very hard. And we as a church put a lot of pressure on you sometimes. I am a matchmaker. Jenny hates it. It drives her insane. But I tell you, I'll be like, "Nice to meet you. You know, you might be good for Martin." I wonder if Sheena would be interested in her. There is a misconception for single people that, you know, they're lonely and they live unfulfilled lives, and that's simply just not true. Did you know that single people are the fastest minority segment in the American population? Almost 40% of adults, American adults, are single, either widowed, divorced, or they just choose to never have been married before. Even though they're not an official race or culture, they often hear comments, feel the pressure, they're perceived as something that they're not, like lonely or unfulfilled. Today, we're going to dispel a couple of myths and give some practical advice, basically, to being single in the church and our world today. And I know what you're thinking. You don't know what it's like to be single because you're married. But I do. I've had, you know, some issues with being single and dealing with that. And there's been times in my life that I didn't even date. I was in a relationship, decided that that relationship was just not for me. There was a time in my life when I would lose myself in somebody. I would typically be there for somebody and sort of change myself to adapt. And once I got out of that particular relationship, I thought, I have to find out who I am. And I got to figure out what is right for me and what I am doing wrong. So there was a time in my life that I didn't date at all. And that was the best time of my life. It was the best time of my life for me to grow and to learn who I was, what I wanted in a mate. I remember talking to a friend of mine that said that her parents often fought, and she would sit there in their her bedroom with her brothers, and she'd often hear them fighting and listen to them argue. And eventually her father left them, and so there was a divorce. And so she remembered nights that her mother would just be in her bedroom crying. She was single again after all of these years. She decided that, you know, she was going to go to church, and she remembered how uncomfortable her mother felt because it was expected that her mother was going to join the singles group. That's great, and single groups are fine. And Michael, where is Michael? You do fantastic. I love the fact that you put on Facebook, we do have a singles group here, and they do a lot of things. Y'all do a lot of eating. That's all I know. But they go to the movies and do all these things. It was expected to, for her mother to be part of a singles group to find another husband. It wasn't to be fed. It wasn't to be ministered to. It was expected that that's why she was there, was looking for another mate. And you know what? If that's why you're in the singles group, it's not going to be fulfilling. You're not going to be there for the right reason. So, but the thing about it is you don't know if you should be young and restless, sleepless in Seattle, or just home alone. But today we're going to talk about the misconceptions about being single and see how that one, the number one, one person can be a whole number. The number one myth is married people don't know what it's like to be alone, but single people do. It's a current trend in America that single people are developing deeper relationships with people. They're deeper friendships than more than married people do. On average, and I looked this up, and you can look it up too, spouses spend 7 minutes a week on average talking to each other. 7 minutes. Marriages don't guarantee bliss and happiness and all that good stuff. I hope y'all spend more than 7 minutes talking. We do. We spend more than 7 minutes talking a week. 10 or 12, give or take. At the same time, single people are spending more and more time with good friends. Did you know that over the last 10 years, like hobby organizations, sporting organizations, they've shot up like 70% because people are getting more involved. People aren't out looking for husbands and wives all the time like they used to be. They're self-sufficient. They can do other things. That's the current situation and world that we live in today. I know this guy who dated a girl for 3 years. His friends were pressuring him to get married. It was like, why? You've been dating this girl for 3 years. You need to get married. But see, he saw a lot of problems with the relationship, red flags here and there. And so finally, he broke up with her. Then it went from, well, you need to be getting married, you need to be asking her, to, oh, well, you just wasted 3 years of your life. So it went from one extreme to the other. But whenever I talked to him, he said, you know what, it's not 3 years wasted. We had some really fun times, we had some really great times together, it just didn't work out. She wasn't the right person for me. And he said now he knows more about what he wants in a relationship, what he expects out of a relationship, what is expected of him out of a relationship. It taught him more about himself and what his needs were, what his wants are, and that sort of thing. And it just didn't work out. It was nobody's fault, and nobody was incomplete or lacking anything. And I just want to tell you, if you are single, but you're in a relationship, and you're not married yet, don't let anybody pressure you into marrying anybody because they think it's a good idea. If you see red flags, work on those red flags before you get married, because it intensifies. You may only speak 7 minutes, but you're with that person a lot. If you're single and you're looking and you see red flags and even dating somebody, don't be quick to brush them off, but don't be quick to jump in a relationship with them, okay? Because I know that in our community, we're so quick just to jump. And men, y'all are just as worse with a U-Haul than us women. Y'all just have better decorations and better furniture. it's almost expected, and it's the norm for us to go on a date, the second date, the third date, you know their address, and then putting it in your GPS because you're going to move in with them, or the vice versa. Don't do that. So don't do it. Misconception number two. Single people either have a defect in their appearance or personality. I keep going back because I'm these people that I've known all my life. I knew a guy, and he was a wonderful guy, but he had the worst bad breath ever. People were worried about him because they were like, he is never going to find a woman with that breath. But everybody has bad breath at some time or another. But this guy had a serious problem that no Tic Tac would ever take care of. But married people just tend to live with those defects. And I think he ended up marrying a woman with bad breath too, and they probably have children with bad breath as well. But it's like this couple that's on a honeymoon, and the husband grabs the wife's hand and he said, I hope you don't mind if I mention a few little defects that I've noticed about you. The bride said, not at all. It was those little defects that kept me from getting a better husband. So he's going to tell her all about it, but couples marry for better or for worse. And a husband says, I could have done better. And the wife says, I couldn't have done worse. But the misconception number three is if you're single, you're not complete or fulfilled as a married person. That is not true at all. It's kind of a double-edged sword. If you're single, people look at you crazy. But if you say that you want a relationship, well, you're codependent, or you're desperate, or you're needy. Oh, you want a relationship? Well, that must mean you're not whole or self-confident. You need someone to love because you don't love yourself. People say this to single people. We need to give them a break. How many people are in a relationship? Raise your hand. That's a lot of people. How many single people do we have here? That's a lot of people. Married people, we need to give them a break, folks. People in a relationship, we need to give them a break. We don't need to tell them they're less than. We don't need to tell them that, well, you're eventually going to find somebody. They may not want anybody. If we are counseling married couples, married people want to be single and single people want to be married. It is not a pretty picture sometimes. But we, as a church, we shouldn't put the demands on people to say, you could go further in ministry if you were married. You can go here if you're married. You know what? God can use anybody. Single, married, divorced, widowed, whatever. He can use you. We forget that Jesus was a single adult. In Luke 9:58, the fox have holes to live in and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And we forget that. We forget that Jesus had feelings. Jesus was a carpenter, and you know when he was working in a carpenter shop, that there was some beautiful woman that walked by and was like, hey, Jesus. He's a good-looking man. He had a lot going for him. And you know he was a good catch, because not only could he walk on water, he could turn into wine. And you know, it didn't matter how many kids you had, because you know he was a good breadwinner. He could feed people. He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a couple of brim. So I'm telling you, if you got sick, get this hug you and you were whole. You're healed. You know, you got a built-in doctor, a built-in fisherman. You got all that. But there was one thing I guarantee you would have been a flaw to many women or men. You would never win an argument. Because Jesus always answered a question with a question. Do I look fat in this dress? Do you think you look fat in that dress? You wouldn't want an argument. So somebody would have found a problem with him at some point. But see, Jesus chose not to be married on purpose. And why? Because his sole focus in life, his food, his passion, was to save people who were lost and dying. And who were living apart from God. He came to seek the lost and the hurting and to save them and join them back together. That was his purpose. He says, my food is to finish the work of the one who sent me. John 4:34. See, he could have gotten married, but he chose to stay single. And he was whole. He was complete. He was perfect, and he wasn't lacking anything. So that brings me to one is a whole number. He was one person. He was a whole number. And Jesus was single, but he knew more about commitment and relationships than we will ever know. He says, all you have to do is love one another. A friend loves at all times. He knew more about relationships than we'll ever know. And it was all about love. If you love people, it doesn't matter if you're married, single, it's all about love. Who knows the world's most famous single person? It's Mother Teresa. She was the most famous single person ever. And people didn't, oh, she's single and she took a vow of celibacy and all that stuff. She had desires, I'm sure. She just brought them under control. She inspired billions of people by helping the poor and the needy. And people don't say, poor Mother Teresa, she wasn't married. She don't have anybody. People don't say that. There's no way. A journalist spent time with her at one point, and he wrote, I have never seen anyone so joyful. She didn't need a man to complete her. She didn't need a woman to complete her. God completed her. One is a whole number. So whether you're married or single, I challenge you to make some visible changes in your calendar. And let it say, you know what, I'm going to build stronger relationships. I'm going to have deeper friendships. If you're single and romance happens in the process, that's just gravy. But don't make that your goal. Don't make finding a woman or a husband or a man or whatever, don't make that your goal. Love people. If you're married, then focus on deepening your relationship with your spouse. But then build other friendships too. More than that, be a big brother, a big sister. Help out at a hospital or a school. Eat with people at work. Spend more time with people building meaningful relationships. And don't worry about the future. And don't live with anxiety. Tackle each day with hope. Not hope that you're going to find somebody, but hope that you can touch people on a day-to-day basis. And don't worry about your life. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Learn to live every day being content in every situation. If you're in a season of singleness, be content in that singleness. Work for Jesus till he puts somebody in your life, if he's going to put anybody in your life. You may not want anybody. Just work for him. And don't be afraid to admit that you want a relationship with someone special. Look for someone who is ordained by God to be in your life. Make a list. I made a list. Jenny made a list. And when I met her, I compared her to that list. It was almost like an application in a sense. She had to prove herself, and so did I to her. But on that list, after we started comparing, it was so much more than what we had put on that paper. Because God knows what you need. We follow into, well, I want this and I want that. God knows what you need, not just what you want. Make a list, and I guarantee you, I promise you, if it's ordained by God, it will be fulfilled to a T. Allow God to weed that out and show you. I admire people who are looking for a relationship to date, but they say, you know what? I do. I want somebody. I want to date somebody. I want to be with somebody, but I don't want them to make me happy. I don't need them to make me happy. When they say that, I'm like, you know what? This is a person who gets it. But get your self-esteem and your self-worth from God, and don't depend on somebody else. Your value comes from God, not from who you're with, who you're married to. Jenny loves me, and she tells me every day. She tells me how valuable I am. But truly, my value and my worth is not in her. It's in God. Because she might decide to leave me one day. You better not leave me. If she's gone, my value and my worth and everything that I am didn't walk out with her. It's with my Lord and it's with my Savior, because he died for me. And that's where I find value. That's where I find wholeness. That's where I find completeness. Not in Jenny, but in God. He'll never let me down. Jenny may not let me down once in a blue moon, but God will never let you down. When she lets me down, I find content in that. I'm okay, and I'm going to be okay. If you're in Jesus, if you're in Christ, you don't get your validation from anyone else. Jenny validates me. She doesn't have to validate me in order for me to have self-worth and self-esteem and stuff. It amazes me the people that I talk to who lose themselves in relationships. If you don't know who you are in a relationship, start seeking who you are. Because that relationship could be gone any day. If that relationship were gone and you don't know who you are, a long time building back up and figuring it out. But if you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter who you're with, you're still whole. So one is a whole number. When one is a whole number and somebody else is a whole number, then two is a whole number. Whenever you are whole and that person that you're coming in to a relationship with or to a marriage, they're whole, then you have a whole marriage. Now, do we have defects? Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But if we are validated and we are secure in who we are in Christ, then you know what? I can overlook certain things. She can overlook the flaws in me. And then we allow Christ to be the center of our relationship. I encourage everyone today to have a relationship with Christ. If you are single, be in a relationship with Jesus until that person comes along. Because if you're in a relationship with Christ, you're declared not guilty of sin. Romans 3:24 says, we are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Christ. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you're considered pure and holy. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you're redeemed. You're made whole. You're righteous. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, then you're a brand new person on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. Continually walk in that newness. If you've made bad decisions in the past about relationships, guess what? Be in a relationship with Jesus and you become a brand new person. You won't accept the stupid stuff anymore. You won't accept the cheating anymore. You won't accept being walked over anymore. There's a lot of stuff you won't accept. There's a lot of things you won't do anymore either. If you're single, protect your heart. If you're in a relationship, protect your heart. It doesn't mean build a wall. I don't mean that at all. But if there's something that is a red flag, don't just go opening up your heart and say, I can overlook that. You know what? Bring it to Jesus. Be in a relationship with Jesus and let him deal with that. Let him show you those things. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you can come fearlessly into God's presence. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with a freedom and confidence. You got a problem? Who better talk to than Jesus? If I have a problem, Jenny may not fully understand, but guess who does? Jesus. If I was single, I'd be talking to Jesus all the time. Because he's the only person who has the answers, right? And it's not that I don't talk to Jesus all the time now, but if I'm in a relationship with him and we are courting, he's my guide and he's my leader. If I'm single, that's who I'm going to. If you're in a relationship with Christ, then you can be complete in him. Colossians 2:10 says, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. That's awesome. We've been brought to fullness. We're complete in him. We don't have to do anything other than just love him and be with him. And we're complete. We're whole. We don't need anybody else to make us complete. We don't need anything else to make us complete because we're complete in him. And if we're in a relationship with Christ, we are accepted. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glorious grace which has been freely given us in the one he loves. But we're accepted. He accepts us just how we are. We don't have to change anything. We don't have to make up anything. We don't have to go around pretending to be anything when we're not. We don't have to clean up. We don't have to pretend. He accepts us exactly the way we are. And on the flip side of that, we shouldn't be changing who we are for anybody else anyway. If you have to change who you are for a man or a woman, and I'm not talking about compromise. If you have a core belief and somebody wants to change it, hello, that's a red flag. Don't do it. Don't compromise on who you are. Don't give up who you are. If you're saved and you follow Jesus and there's somebody that you find kind of hot and they ask you out on a date and you find out that they don't believe in Jesus, don't think for a minute that you're going to bring them up. Because they're going to bring you down every single time. And here's the great one. If you're in a relationship with Christ, you are the apple of his eye. He would do anything in the world for you. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings. You talk about the ultimate protector? He's the ultimate protector. He's the ultimate provider. The fact that we're considered the apple of his eye, wow, that just seems amazing to me. We're whole people. It doesn't matter if we're single, if we're in a relationship, if we're married. We're whole people. Don't let anybody tell you any different, especially if you're single. Wish for your own marriage. Bring it to God, because he knows. He knows what you need. You don't need a marriage like mine and Jenny's. You need a marriage that is built for you based on what God has for you. Period. God has a plan for our life, and it's to build genuine relationships. That's his plan. That's his R-rated plan for our life, is relationships in a whole, healthy way. Not in a negative, crazy world way, because that's what we've lived with in our community forever, but be different through Jesus and with Jesus. If you want to be married, if you want to find somebody, the best place to look is in your friends sometimes. Not in a bar, not a bar, not a bar. It's in church. It's maybe through your friends. Do things that'll better your life. Find them there. Hang out with God and be real. Find them in him. And if something happens that leads to marriage, that's great. If it doesn't, then you know what? Be whole in him while you're single. But until all that happens, until you find somebody or you decide that being married is not for you or whatever, that one is a whole number. You are completely whole. You don't have any character defects. You have Jesus, and that's all you need, period. I'm going to leave you with this. But there's 10 things that people think about single people that absolutely 100% are not true. And I find some of them funny. Number one. All singles, especially women, want to get married. Did you know that changes in our society say that there's so many more options and benefits to staying single, and more people are staying single these days? Number two, single men are irresponsible. Now, come on, that could be true. I'm teasing. But it doesn't make them irresponsible because they're not married, and it doesn't make them afraid of commitment. It just means that they are just, you know, pursuing other things, and that goes for women as well. Number three, singles are sexually frustrated. Everybody got quiet on that one. But according to national studies, did you know that sex ranks fifth in the order of importance in their lives? Y'all have other things going on. Does that mean that you're, you know, you don't have desires? Absolutely not. But you know what? You get them under control. And then you move on. You got better things. I mean, it's not your primary focus. This one's funny to me. Singles are just wild swingers. Single people are more apt to be in careers, not out, you know, partying crazy. Finally, the right person will solve all your problems. Look, being married is not an insurance policy for happiness. Marriage is God's highest calling. Is marriage preferred? Maybe, maybe not. Is it permanent? Yes. Marriage should be permanent? I got to say this, and I'm not going to say who, and it's nobody that y'all even know, and they don't live in the state of Georgia. I know someone who has been married 3 times to 3 different people in the last year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. It's crazy. It's expensive, too. Just because it's not a legal thing yet doesn't mean that God doesn't value commitment and he doesn't see that commitment. Don't be getting married 3 times in a year. People are going to call you crazier than you already are. Hold on to that person. If you're going to marry somebody, it's a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. Dating and breaking up is totally different than being married and divorce. I'm just going to say that. It cracks us up when people are married. Married people say, well, we broke up. No, you divorced. You went through the big D and it wasn't Dallas. All single adults are lonely. The loneliest people in the world are not singles. The loneliest people are those married people whose hearts are miles apart, but they sleep back to back. That's the loneliest people in the world. Singles are basically selfish. That's not true at all. The reality is they have no way to mask their selfishness because they can't say, well, Johnny has a soccer game today. Well, I can't come help you move because Jenny's not feeling well. She's feeling fine. I'm just, I want to help y'all move. So they're not selfish. Only a large church can offer something for singles. That is so wrong. Look, we're a small church. Basically, singles prefer small churches. That's just a proven fact. But we're a small church, but we have a lot to offer. If you're single, get involved in our singles ministry. Michael is sitting back there. If he stood up, he's so tall, he would hit the light. If you're single and you want to be involved in our singles ministry, he's the person to see. They're always doing something. It's a good group of people. Get involved. The other place to get involved is our home groups. Because it's not a singles, for singles, it's for everybody. But guess what? You're going there and you're being fed. And if you meet somebody there, it's gravy. Be involved in the things where people are. And our singles group and our home groups is a good place to start. The last thing is single adults don't understand family life. Look, Nehemiah and Paul understood it. They were single. And so do most single adults. Don't think for a minute that they don't want family. But don't be so hard on our single people. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, you broke up. We need to find somebody. When are you going to start dating again? Do you know how much pressure that puts on people? They don't know when they're going to start dating again. I guess when somebody walks in front of them to ask. I don't know. We're so quick to judge why somebody is not with somebody because it's so expected sometimes. Some people may be single by choice because why would somebody want to be alone? Well, guess what? They're not alone. They're fulfilled. They're whole. They're happy. And if they brought somebody in there, that'd mess all that up. But let Jesus be your primary focus. Be happy and be content in him. And if you're single, there's hope. Not hope in another person. Not hope in finding somebody. Not hope in meeting the right person. But hope in Christ. And knowing that he is going to fulfill you no matter what. But when that right person comes along, make sure that that person is a person that God has ordained for you, who lifts you up, who brings you up, who doesn't put you down for the things that you believe in. Make sure it's a person that fosters your goals and your dreams and, you know, all those things. I'm going to pick on you. Tracy, I didn't mean to do this. I'm sorry. She's been in relationships, but for one reason or another, they haven't worked out. And it's not because she's less than. It's because she's picky. I don't mean picky in a bad way. I mean picky that she's not going to settle. In all this time, this girl has found that she's a painter. more than just an artist. She's creative. She does these things with her hands. She's a drummer. Who knew she was a drummer? All these things that she is. She may have never found out because she was in a relationship. But because she is single and she's grasping what God has for her, she's a different person. She is a different person today than she was a year ago. And it's not because she's single and it's not because she is not looking, but it's because she's put her primary focus, her whole focus on what God has for her. And so guess what? When she finds the right person, or we find the right person for her, guess what? She's going to know exactly what she wants. She's going to know exactly what she needs. And she's going to know exactly who she needs to be in order to be that person for that person that she's with. That's what I mean by taking time and investing in you with God. Go through that period that you don't date anybody and learn who you are and learn what your needs are and what your wants are. Just because you just broke up doesn't mean you have to get right back into a relationship, because you bring all that baggage and all that anger into that relationship, and more than likely in 3 months you're going to be right back where you were before you started that new relationship. I'm not saying Tracy is a perfect role model by any means, and I don't mean to put that pressure on you whatsoever. Take that time like she did. She could have very well been in a quick relationship and not taken the time to realize who God is in her life and what he is to her and who she is in him. So take that time. It's valuable. Sheena doesn't find her value in somebody else and other people, or in the church, or in your job. That's not your value. Martin knows his value is in Christ. And once you find your value in Christ, then and only then are you going to be in that perfect spot for God to bring that person into your life.